those insects that migrate into the greater Midwest each year, including as far south as, into the Gulf Coast states or Mexico, that actually migrate up into the Corn Belt each year. And then that other group of insects that actually do overwinter in one way or another here in the Midwest. Insects that would fall into that migratory group that are very familiar, certainly to a lot of growers throughout the state, would be insects like the black cutworm, corn earworm, corn leaf aphids, leaf hoppers, green clover worms, fall army worms. That's just to name a few. And then there are some very important insect pests that actually do overwinter in the state. And those would include some insects like the corn rootworm, bean leaf beetles, and, Japanese beetles. And of course, a lot of folks are very familiar with Japanese beetles because they affect not only field crops, but a large share of ornamental plants around the urban landscape as well.
Do growers, whether they're backyard growers, people who raise, you mentioned the Japanese beetles, and I know that they have a particular taste for rose bushes, whether they're people who are growing rose bushes, as you said, for ornamental purposes, or people who've got an entire field of say, corn or soybeans, do they have any reason to be optimistic after we've been in the grips of this polar weather that's whipped down from the pole? Has this affected those insects that that do either burrow in the ground or otherwise, stay through the winter?
By and large, it's always impressed me how insects are superbly adapted to survive overwintering conditions. They do that in a variety of ways, either some move indoors, so we're all familiar with those multicolored Asian lady beetles that try to, get into our attics, garages, what have you, to overwinter. Some, like the corn rootworm, lay their eggs in the soil, so those eggs are as deep as a foot or more. Japanese beetles overwinter as grubs in the soil. But I will tell you that because the temperatures have been so below normal this year, and we've had the soil frozen much more deeply than we've seen in many years, I do believe some of those insects, like the Japanese beetle, that overwinters as a grub, I do think this winter will take its toll and increase the level of mortality on some of those insects. To be sure, there will still be some survivors. We'll still see Japanese beetles in 2014. We will still see corn rootworms in 2014. But I do think the severity of this winter will help us out to some extent.
As we head into the 2014 grow season and out of, as you said, this intense deep freeze that has been freezing this soil, what advice, if anything, do you have for those big growers who really count on that soil for their livelihood?
Well, I've indicated to growers for many years that it's obviously very important to monitor pest populations in their field, to scout their fields, to be aware of, scouting procedures, be aware of economic thresholds. Insecticides are used when thresholds are reached, and in that way we can use insecticides more judiciously rather than use on what I've called almost an insurance basis. So insects like corn rootworm, quite honestly, it would have been very important for growers during the last growing season to scout their corn as well as their soybean fields throughout much of East Central Illinois for the presence of rootworm adults, to get a better understanding of what densities they were in those fields. And that gives you a sense, how much egg laying may have taken place in those fields that will set the stage for potential damage this year. So that really does need to be made on a field-by-field basis, that is scouting and use of those thresholds. Having said that, there are no rescue treatments for corn rootworms. Decisions for that insect in particular are really made at planting, whether or not a soil insecticide is needed or whether or not a grower decides to use a BT hybrid. But as a general rule of thumb, again, based on the severity of this winter, I would anticipate, very broadly, lower populations of rootworms as we move into 2014 because of this very cold weather.
I've been speaking with Mike Gray. He's an entomologist at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And touching back on the harshness of this winter, I wonder if there is a particular aspect to certain of these insects, either the way that they, you know, lay eggs, or what is it that makes an insect particularly vulnerable to weather conditions? Is it where they overwinter? Is it what's left that is supposed to come alive in the spring?
Well, insects are very good, those that overwinter, to basically go into a, almost, if you will, a suspended state, a hibernation, where their overall life processes are really slowed down. And many of these insects that are able to withstand these very cold temperatures have an antifreeze compound within their hemolymph, which is just a fancy name for insect blood, if you will. And this compound is known as glycerol, and it enables them to withstand freezing down to a very super cooled level. Now, having said that, prolonged below zero temperatures like we've been experiencing for seemingly day after day, it will take its toll. Some insects will ultimately end up not making it through these harsh conditions, but many are able to get beneath the soil, beneath plant debris. We've had pretty good snow cover this year, too, and that snow cover will help those insects that are in the soil beneath plant debris, almost acting as if we've got an insulation blanket over the top of the soil. So that's going to be a plus, certainly, for some of those hibernating insects. You know, for some of these insects, I guess the key point is that some that are very familiar to producers certainly migrate into the state, so I think that helps people when they understand that when they begin to see insects out in their field and wonder, gee, how did all of these different species survive so nicely? Migration is basically one tool that allows insects to, you know, survive and expand their range each year as well.